Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
You are listening to the IFH Podcast Network. For more amazing filmmaking and screenwriting podcasts, just go to ifhpodcastnetwork.com.
Hey, I'm your host, Jeffrey D. Calhoun, and I have some incredible news. TheSuccessfulScreenwriter.com is officially live. We're moving to a monthly subscription with both free and paid options, all of which have the benefits of group discussions, reviews, seminars, Academy Award-winning screenplays, and even open writing assignments from producers. As a monthly member of TheSuccessfulScreenwriter.com, you'll be able to join our monthly screenwriting competition where the winner can have their work presented to a talent manager. Go to the Successful Screenwriter website today for access to live interviews with producers, directors, and award-winning writers. All you have to do is go to thesuccessfulscreenwriter.com and join the community that helps you develop. Join us today for your chance at community, opportunity, and education. Now, on to the show. All right, welcome to the Successful Screenwriter Podcast, where we discuss anything and everything screenwriting. Here we interview successful screenwriters and filmmakers to find out just what it takes to make it in the industry. All right, we've got a great guest today. Welcome to the podcast. We have on screenwriter and author of the book, What Are You Laughing At? This is Brad Schreiber. Thanks for being on.
Hi, Jeffrey. How are you?
I'm good, man. I appreciate your time. So before we start talking about the book, I want to get a little bit about, you know, your origin story and what led to you writing this book.
My origin story happened to be my father and mother having sex one day. They said that they had me for laughs. So I guess it would be inevitable that I would write a book about humor writing. But it really went back to Chris Vogler, who has been a guest of yours, and I really enjoyed the podcast you did with Chris. I ran Chris's company, Storytech Literary Consulting, for a while.
Oh.
Before I became a consultant myself. I did that for about 11 years. I was his VP, and I learned so much from working with him and his clients. And at one point, I said I want to do a book based on my UCLA Extension class, which is very funny because Chris did the writer's journey in a way based on both his memo at Disney and his class.
Oh, okay.
At UCLA Extension. So he said, yeah, and we went to Michael Wiese, who was the publisher of the writer's journey, and
yeah.
They said, yeah, we'd love to do a book with you, and Chris wrote the introduction.
Awesome.
And then that was, I think, 2003, and I did a new edition for Allworth and added chapters on digital marketing and short films and so forth, and it's been in print since 2003, I guess.
Oh, good. Well, I mean, you know, I read the book, and it was great to see elements that I have from my book in your book. It's always nice to see someone else's kind of interpretation of what we do, and especially from a comedic standpoint, which is awesome, because I think comedy is so hard to write.
Yeah, and I swear to God, I did not rip you off.
I came after you, so if anything, right?
I know that there are certain things that are in the ether, Jeffrey, yeah. that you just sort of, some people stumble on. But I'm kind of proud of certain things that I came up with that I know are unique, like the 11 modes of comedic dialogue. And I taught a class called 13 Things Bad Screenwriters Commonly Do.
Awesome.
Which is a kind of a how not to comedically for writing screenplays. And I've taught that. And those things I know, you know, as a bolt of lightning that hits you, you go, wow, this is something that I don't think I've read before. So write it down on paper.
No, I think it's great. Even if there is something in the ether that we're all kind of picking out and interpreting on our own, I love to learn from your perspective because it helps me understand and really, you know, in my lifelong pursuit to master this craft. So I think it's great. You talk about the principles of comedic structure, which I thought was awesome. And a few of the ones that really stuck out to me were like shock and surprise and juxtaposition. I mean, these are things that I've never really seen anybody mention before.
Yeah, I'm very big on embarrassment and surprise. Actually, everybody, the old cliche is, you know, that comedy is, you know, tragedy plus time.
Right.
But there's a lot of negativity associated with what comes out of comedy, you know, and fear. When I was at UCLA Extension, the first thing I did in the first of like six classes is I'd introduce myself, I'd meet the other people, and I'd ask them to talk about the most embarrassing thing that they ever had happen to them.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, so now you're breaking the ice and everybody's bonding together because they're talking about, there was one British woman who had met Prince Charles, and she actually was so frightened she urinated while she was actually, aww, you know, saying hello to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, so all of a sudden you break the ice, but also you realize that comedy comes out of situations that otherwise could be seen as very dark and very depressing.
Right.
And you have to create a certain distance. Of course, as long as it doesn't happen to you, it's funny, you know? You know, like Mel Brooks said, tragedy is I cut my finger, comedy is you fall into an open manhole and die. So,
wow,
you know, it's about distance. It's about, it's happening to somebody else, and thank God it's not happening to me, and now I have permission to laugh.
Yeah, and to be able to go to that place, to be able to write that, you have to make yourself so vulnerable to be able to open up to that type of writing, which I think is something that we never really talk about as well. I mean, she had to really open up and admit that, but then that allows her to utilize that tragic moment for comedy, for an aspect in the script that she could write that could really, yeah, pull a reaction from audience. I think it's brilliant. One thing you mentioned,
yeah,
was exaggeration. And when I was reading your book, I realized that exaggeration in film is probably my most loved form of comedy. And I didn't realize that until I read your book, but it started me thinking about the old Peter Sellers Pink Panther, or even the Steve Martin version he came out with a few years ago. And that exaggeration, that larger than life caricature, mm-hmm, I truly appreciate and just makes me crack up.
Yeah. You know, I sort of said in What Are You Laughing At that, you know, you could have a normal character in a comedic universe or a comedic character in a normal universe.
Love it.
But if you exaggerate everything, there's no sense of reality.
Right.
And it can get very wearing. I think about Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Because Jim Carrey is in both of those kinds of movies. You know, Ace Ventura is maybe one of the most elastic,
right,
insane characters I've ever seen on film. It is so exaggerated. It's almost like he's animated and put into,
yeah,
a real world. But then you look at a movie like The Truman Show, where he's sort of playing a straight character and everything is insane because the whole world is in on the fact that he's in a reality show and he doesn't know it. So I give props to Carrey because he didn't just do the exaggerated character all the time.
Right.
He tried to flip it and say, what would happen if the joke's on me and I'm just a nice guy trying to figure out what's going on?
Yeah. I love it. I mean, it make it, you know, where I went to thinking was of a normal character in a comedic world, I immediately went to like Idiocracy, where you have this this average Joe guy and he ends up being the smartest man on the planet, which is absolutely, you know, hilarious. And then to see that and then to see what they were warning about back then and to see parts of it living out today's rather crazy and prophetic at the same time. So I love that. So you can have a normal person in a comedic world or comedic person in a normal world. I think that's great. Or even I think the name of the film was Free Guy, I think would probably be the latest example of that with Ryan Reynolds, which was absolutely hysterical. Mm. One thing you spoke about was concept, and I don't see low concept mentioned very often when I read other screenwriting books. And so it was a pleasant surprise to see you discuss high concept versus low concept, because for years it's only been high concept. And you even took it a step further where you had the no concept, which you never see that mentioned.
Well, you know, I think that you're probably, from listening to your podcast, I glean that you're very into independent film, which I am too. And, you know, if you're writing for the studio, you need a high concept because it's going to be a big budget. It may rely on special effects. At the very least, it's going to rely on locations and very big name people who have to get very big salaries or they're not going to do your movie.
Yeah.
But what about an independent film? You know, it's more character driven because you do not have the budget to do insane stunts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you recognize that it's a different kind of writing, creating a character who's oddball or who's dealing with people who are odd in circumstances. And, you know, it's about knowing your audience. And no concept is like no concept. It's like no ideas. It's like, what are you going for? You know, where's the humor come from? Now, that said, Jeffrey, I wanna say that a lot of people are intimidated by the idea of writing comedy, and they say, I write drama, you know, I'm not interested. Well, I always remind them that even the darkest material needs leavening. Mm-hmm. It needs a moment where something in tone fits the screenplay so that you just give a little breath of air to the viewer and then go on with your wonderfully depressing movie, you know. So everybody needs comedy, even people who are not comedy writers.
Yeah, you have to drip in. You have to drip in those lighter moments because otherwise the film is kind of emotionally stale and you numb out the audience. You know, I always look at it as like peaks and valleys, at least of like an emotional roller coaster when it comes to writing a screenplay. So you can dip in those little bit moments of levity, and it allows you to kind of reset the audience emotionally to lead them into a new path. I mean, I think that's why Tarantino does it with his kind of splatter films, because it kind of gets you to reset that whole moment before you go into a big shootout or, you know, some kind of gory kill. So, You know,
let me jump in for a second,
please.
Because I might forget. You bring up Tarantino. I used to teach screenwriting at the American Film Institute in Hollywood.
Oh, cool.
And I used to use a clip from Pulp Fiction that talks about how dark the material is, but how weird and funny it is. And it's the scene where Uma Thurman is overdosing on heroin that she thought was cocaine.
Right.
And John Travolta is trying to go to his dealer, Eric Stoltz, and say, hey, help me with this woman.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating because when you are not caught up in the drama of it, there are little things that are really absurd. Their arguments, their logic, driving up on the lawn.
Yeah.
There are things that if you see it a second or third time, you might laugh, when the first time you're just going, oh my God, is this woman going to die?
Exactly. No, it's a great point. And that actually leads me to one of my other questions. Cause you had a great quote in there. Humor is about personal taste, and so is art. And I love that, because I find comedy, unlike writing a scary movie, you can write a scary movie, you can write horror, and that can really translate internationally. Like, fear is kind of a universal language.
Yeah.
Everybody's scared of roughly the same few things, but comedy, it's difficult to translate comedy across borders.
Well, yes and no, with respect. I think it is easier to do physical comedy, as long as people like physical comedy. Some people think it's lowbrow and they like something that's wittier and more urbane, and that's fine. But what you really get in trouble with is, let's say you're writing in English and you have your film distributed to another country. You might have a pun or a play on words, or even a slang term that's not known in another language.
Gotcha.
You know, you can't expect those people to laugh at that, because they are not familiar with it any more than you would be familiar with their slang. I think I don't normally like to quote commercials, because I think they're very low form and they're very uncreative. But one of the most interesting commercials about comedy I've ever seen was a Jerry Seinfeld commercial about American Express.
Yeah.
Where he's in England and he's doing his stand-up routine, and they're like, what in God's name is he talking about?
Yeah.
You know, so finally he starts using slogans and little words and phrases that are English that we don't know, and the audience is roaring. And you watching the commercial are going, what's a googly and, sticky wicket? And what are they talking about? But at the same time, Jerry Seinfeld in the commercial finds out what his audience is about. So that's exactly to your point, that it's the terminology and the words. If you don't understand them, they're not going to work.
Yeah.
But everybody likes a pie in the face and, you know, a fat guy's face, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe not a suffering person.
Right.
You know, Margaret Atwood. She said something like, "It might be funny for a fat man to fall down a sewer, but a woman who is starving and thin and shivering and cold maybe is not so funny."
Yeah.
So again, you need that distance, and you need permission, even in physical comedy, for people to go, hey, better you than me.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. So when it comes to writing comedy, you have a section for exploring possibilities. And you talk about the what if. I was wondering if you can kind of lead us down that.
Yeah. I don't want to seem cruel, Jeffrey, but I think that screenwriters, you know, whether comedic or dramatic, sometimes are lazy.
Okay.
They get an idea and they say, okay, this is what's going to happen. And it may be similar to something they've seen. And they think, well, okay, you know, I have different characters, even though it's the same action. It might be derivative. I'm going to use it. Well, the idea is to do something that you have not done before, that you haven't seen before.
Right.
So it's applicable in comedy. If somebody uses a cliched joke, or you're in a cliched circumstance, and you go, well, it's good enough, probably it isn't.
Yeah.
And this is an exercise I used to use again at UCLA Extension, where I'd say, okay, here's the situation. I want you to come up with, not with a really clever idea, but to identify the cliche you've seen over and over again in movies.
Yeah.
And so, for example, there are two guys in an action movie, and there's some bad guys behind them in a car. And one of the heroes turns back, sees the bad guys following him, and he turns to his buddy who's driving and says, "Hey, guess what?" What does he say? What's the first thing you think of that's a cliche that you've seen a million times in a movie?
Oh, let's see. They're on to us or something like that.
Yeah, they're on to us or we've got company. Exactly.
Oh, we've got company. Yeah.
So I would go to the audience, the class, and I'd say, identify the cliche. And 95% of the people would either say, they're on to us or we've got company.
Yeah.
Maybe 5% would screw up the exercise by saying something clever. And I'd say, that's a really funny idea. You failed the exercise. Your job was to find out what the cliche is.
Yeah.
But they proved my point because most of the people would say, yeah, I've seen that a million times and I am so sick of it.
Right.
So, you know, digging deeper in this idea of what if is like saying, okay, maybe I don't have a solution to this scene or the dialogue right now. I'm going to put it away instead of writing down something that's simple because
yeah.
It really is going to be derivative. And when you try and sell it, people are going to go, eh, this thing doesn't really grab me.
And so do you recommend doing multiple iterations, like, you know, 20, 30, 40 different lines, really kind of workshopping until you get something in a line?
I hope not. I hope you don't have to do 20 or 30 lines. I hope that, and I think this happens, you know, as you're an experienced screenwriter, you know, the more you write, you get to a certain facility where you can get what you want in a first draft and
yeah.
then do a revision, and you don't have to do 7 or 8 revisions. That's the good thing about continuing with writing, is you get better at it until you reach a certain plateau.
Yeah.
In the beginning, writers might have to do a number of times before they're happy with it. You also have to know when to give up the ghost and say, okay, this is as good as I can make it. Let's, go out there and market it.
I love it.
I personally have sympathy for writers who go, hey, Brad, I can't do a draft and then one revision and say I'm done. And I say, okay, that's your process. You know, try and streamline it. Try and be productive every time you sit down and write. Some of us, we have written like 12 or 13 screenplays, have had a couple of movies made. And, you know, you do a draft and a revision and maybe a polish. And you really have got something you're ready to market. It's different for everybody.
But
the good thing at the end, Jeffrey, is that once you have written a couple of screenplays, you find the process goes faster and you get closer to what you want quicker.
Yeah, I think that's definitely an approach. I always recommend, I recommend a lot of drafts. But one thing I found now is when I'm writing is when I'm really working on a character, whether it's with a student or a client, I really start asking myself, who are they? Where are they from? What is their life experience? Who is this person? And then once we nail that, I can write the dialogue meaningfully from their mm-hmm. point of view. And that saves me from having to do multiple drafts. So I totally get where you're coming from. Knowing your characters can save you a lot of time. Well, the book is
absolutely.
What Are You Laughing At? Brad Schreiber. Is there anything I should have asked you that I haven't asked?
Well, you know, I would mention in closing, Jeffrey, that in What Are You Laughing At? I have what's called a psi chart, PSI, physical, sociological, and intellectual, where you can create certain identities or characteristics for a character. And you can use it for comedic or dramatic characters. And if you're stuck with creating a character, you have all these different categories I mentioned, and you might just find one category that opens you up and helps you define that character. So some of those exercises I used at UCLA Extension are there in the book.
Awesome. Brad, thanks for coming on the show.
Really wonderful. I invite other people to visit me at bradschreiber.com. And there's a lot of video and audio as well as samples of my work there.
Great. Thanks again.
Hey, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter by using my handle @ScreenwriterPod. And if you liked the show, please support it by subscribing and sharing the episode on your social media.